Let's just prepare ourselves to hear God's word. Father, we thank you for your word to us. And we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, ready to receive what you want to say to us today. Let us be tuned into your voice and to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, we are looking at God's extraordinary power. That's the theme for today, and part of the series that I have been reliably informed you've been working through. And last week in Acts 18, you were looking at something else. I thought I'd written it down, but it's not here. Oh, discipleship. Discipleship in Acts 18. And then next week, without wanting to give too much away, the theme of peace in Acts 20. But today, Acts 19, verses 1 to 20 in particular. And when I was reading these verses and preparing for this morning, it became very clear that there's kind of two parts to this message, to this passage. And so we're going to look at those two things separately, part one and part two. Because for me, part one speaks of the source of the power and how we receive the power that we're going to be speaking about. And then part two is speaking about how that power can be used. So it's how we receive the power and then how we use the power. And the first part is sort of Acts 19, 1 to 7. That's how we receive the power. And then 8 to 20 is some of that power actually being put to use. And right in the middle of all of these verses, pretty much bang in the middle, verse 11, we get the thrust of what today is about and the message that I want to bring. Because the New Living Translation said that God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. And I want to suggest right at the outset that God gives us the power. Like I was saying to the younger people, God has given that same power that he gave to Paul to each and every one of us who choose to believe in and choose to follow Jesus Christ. And we read about this in Acts, that we receive power. That reference is wrong. I apologize. That should be Acts 1:8, not 19:11. Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. So when we believe, when we encounter Jesus and we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power to be his witness. Then in Philippians 2:13, that one is correct. Philippians 2:13, it says that God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And then in Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses, it says, "All glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." So God has placed this power in us to empower us to be his witnesses, to tell people about him, to show his love to those that are in need. But God's power also works within us to change us and transform us to become more like Jesus ourselves. Now, through this year, at the beginning of every year, I kind of ask God to give me a message, to give me a word, to give me a theme that I then sort of carry through the year myself. And this year, he's given me something that I've then had the privilege, and I believe God has opened up opportunities for me to travel and to talk to other churches about. And I'm not going to just, you know, cut and paste that into here. I'm speaking about Acts 19, but it does fit. Because the beginning of this year, 2022, God started to speak to me about this. And when I was praying, he basically said, "Get out." And I thought, well, that's a bit rude, isn't it? And then I started to kind of process and pray that a bit more. And what he was saying was that it's a year to be obedient to the things that he asks of you. And as we are obedient to God, we will see some of the unimaginable things that we're going to actually look at here in Acts 19. We will see the unimaginable as we fully trust God and his power at work within us. And the way we do that is it's about stepping out in faith, stepping out into the things that God calls us to do. It's about reaching out to people that are in need and need to experience something of God. And then it's about speaking out the truth of the gospel. It's a year to step out, reach out, and speak out. And in Acts 19, we see Paul and the disciples doing exactly this, being obedient to God. As they do, they see some unimaginable things, more than they can ask or think, as it says in Ephesians 3, because they fully trust in God's power and not in their own abilities. So, this power, part one, how do we receive this power? Well, the simple answer is that it's through a complete baptism in Jesus, not a part baptism. At the beginning of Acts 19, the first few verses, that we see this account of Paul coming alongside these believers in Ephesus. He's arrived in the city of Ephesus, and he's come across these people that have accepted Jesus as their savior. They've been baptized in water, the baptism of John, as Paul calls it, and they've understood about the forgiveness of sin, about being cleansed and washed and made new, but that's it. They haven't had the complete baptism, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul comes, Paul lays his hands on them, they receive the Holy Spirit, and then they start to experience life in its fullness that Jesus came to offer them. You see, for a number of weeks, months, years, we don't know how long, probably just weeks or months, they'd been missing out on living the fullest possible life because they weren't living with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I got to wondering, I wonder how many Christians go through their life like this, even now, today. How many of us believers know about Jesus? We've accepted Jesus. We've been forgiven by Jesus. But we're not living in the power of Jesus quite yet. We haven't necessarily fully grasped what that looks like and what that means. Are we like those believers in Ephesus? We're Christians. We've been adopted into the family of God, but we're not living with the complete power of God in our lives. You know, when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 3:10, he said this, that I want to know Christ, but I also want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. You may have known Christ, but have you experienced the mighty power that raised him from the dead? And like I said, this is all happening in this city of Ephesus. And Paul wrote to the church there later when he'd toddled off on his missionary journeys and carried on his travels. He wrote back to the believers. And in that letter, in chapter 5, there's a whole section about living by the Spirit's power. And that's what it's entitled. And he talks to them what it means now to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And elsewhere in that letter, in Ephesians 3:19, he prays this for them. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, but then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. A complete relationship with God is the forgiveness of our sins for the past, but it's about living a new life today in the power of the Holy Spirit. So have we fully received all that God offers us? Have we fully received the Holy Spirit? Are we getting the full experience of what Jesus can offer us today? Because only then can we move on to part two of Acts 19. And part two is using the power, living in the power and using it. Remember, I said God has been speaking to me about being out, being obedient. And it's my obedience that will lead to me seeing unimaginable things as I trust in his power. And as I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning to be thinking about how you can be stepping out or reaching out or speaking out in your own situations. Because it's then that we might get to experience some of these things ourselves. Some of the unimaginable things that Ephesians 3:20 speaks about. Things beyond what we ask or imagine. Things beyond our wildest imaginations, one translation says. You see, God did it back in the time of Paul and those early followers. He did it in Ephesus. God hasn't changed. God can do the same today. His power is the same. And we read in Acts 19 about the kind of things that were happening. You know, Paul merely had to touch a handkerchief or an apron, and then that can be taken and laid with somebody or placed on somebody, and they were being healed. Amazing things were happening. I remember we did that in our church quite a few years back now, but we literally, we tried that. We read that that's what happened in Scripture, and there was somebody in our congregation that was sick and couldn't come out. And so as a church, one Sunday morning, we prayed for a handkerchief. Well, we didn't pray for the handkerchief, you know what I mean? We prayed whilst holding it, and then we sent that to the person. And I genuinely can't remember the outcome of the story, but we thought, well, if that happened here, then we want to believe that that still can happen today. And so in faith, we did exactly that. We hear about people being healed in Acts 19, demons being expelled, the gospel being preached, people's lives being changed because they were encountering the power of God through these disciples, through the followers of Jesus. And I love the way that Acts 19 finishes, verse 20, when it says that the message about the Lord spread widely and it had a powerful effect. That's what happened when the power was being put to use. And what we see in Acts 19 is Paul doing these things that I spoke about at the beginning. Paul is known for his missionary journeys where he travels around. So Paul was literally stepping out into new areas. He was going to new towns, new places where God was leading him, and he was stepping out in faith and traveling to these areas. When he got to these places, he was reaching out to people, physically touching them, praying for healing, and seeing God do unimaginable things. And as we read about in Acts 19, he would go to the synagogue. He would preach the good news. He would go to the lecture halls of Tyrannus, which I thought sounded like a dinosaur myself. But he would go to the lecture hall of Tyrannus and speak there and debate with people. And it said that the message about the Lord was spreading quickly, and it was having a powerful effect. You see, I believe that God is looking for people that will follow that example, that will do just the same. And you know, Jesus himself, our ultimate example, the person whom we all, I hope, are trying to be a bit more like as we live our lives. Jesus stepped out into a public ministry when he was 30 years old. He stepped out from his home in Nazareth, being a carpenter, where he'd grown and matured and earned favor with God and with people. He stepped out into the public ministry. We know from the Gospels that Jesus had no problem with reaching out to those that needed to encounter God, getting alongside the lonely, the hurt, the outcasts that nobody else would touch, and physically touching them, and emotionally connecting with them, and spiritually speaking God's power into their lives. And Jesus spoke out about forgiveness of sin. He got in trouble for that. Ultimately, he got crucified for that. But he stepped out, he reached out, and he spoke out. Paul followed in his footsteps. And so now the challenge falls onto each and every one of us living here and now today. Will we follow those footsteps? Will we be people that are ready to step out, to reach out, to speak out, to be obedient when God speaks to us? Because then we see some of the unimaginable things that God might have in store as we trust in his power. But it has to be trusting in God's power, not in our own strength. Because we also read in this chapter of Acts 19, these verses here about this group, that the seven sons of Sceva who came and they tried to do these things. They tried to imitate what Paul and the disciples were doing, what Jesus had done, but they tried to do it in their own strength, and it didn't work. They got called out by it. They got beaten and chased out of the house, naked and battered, it says. And it reminds me of what we read in Zechariah 4:6, when God said to Zerubbabel that it is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. You know, we don't go out into our worlds, into our workplaces, our colleges, our neighborhoods, by ourselves to try and do these things. We do them with the power of God. We do them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing later that there is power in the name of Jesus. We can't hope to achieve healings. We can't hope to see miracles or signs or see people fall on their knees and confess their sins at the name of Jesus unless we allow the power of God to flow in us and through us and to trust in God's Spirit and not in our own strength or our own force. But when we do fully rely on this power at work in us, transformation can truly occur. Transformation can occur in us as well as in the world around us, in our communities and in our families. It changes us. It says in Ephesians 4, again, Paul was writing back to this group that we're reading about today, and he says, "Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature to be created like God, truly righteous and holy." You know, God's power, God's extraordinary power, changes us so that we can then be agents of change in the world around us. There's a verse that God's speaking to me a lot about at the moment, and it's in Romans, I think it is. I can get the reference for you if you need to. But it's in Romans, and it says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Romans 12, I think it is. And it's about letting God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Because certainly for me, defenses go up. I pray that. I want that with all of my heart. But then the human nature side of me fights against that for some reason. It's the old spirit and my human nature battling away, as it talks about in Galatians. But let God transform you. Let God's power renew your thoughts and your attitudes so that you become a new person. We are changed so that we can then change others or introduce them to Jesus who can change them. Romans 8:2 speaks about how we belong to him and the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The power of the Spirit is greater than any other power that may have a hold of us. And I stand here this morning and say, it doesn't feel like that sometimes. When we get drawn back into old habits, when old unhelpful thoughts plague our minds, and yet we have to believe that the Spirit of God that is in us is more powerful than any other spirit that may try and hold us back. And let's listen to his voice. Let's allow him to lead us and guide us. Let the Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes. Because as we are transformed, as God's power transforms us, we can then be agents of transformation around us. And it's amazing to read how this the end of this passage finishes. Acts 19, 17 to 20. This is the summary. It says that the story of what happened, it spread quickly through all of Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. And a solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord was greatly honored. The name of the Lord was honored because of what people had seen happen. Many who became believers, they confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. And then this, so the message about the Lord spread widely and it had a powerful effect. Is that what we want for our area? Is that what we want for our communities? Is that what we want for our city? For our nation, that it is changed, that people see the power of God at work, the extraordinary power of God at work, and word about what he is doing begins to spread, and it has a powerful effect. See, we all have a part to play in that. Because like I said earlier with the graphics, we are all these people that have the power of God in us, the power to reach out to others, the power to be agents of change. Will we be prepared in the coming weeks, days even, months and years, to step out when God leads us, to reach out to those who need us, and to speak out the word of God? Just as Paul did in Ephesus, just as the rest of the disciples did as they traveled and as they spread and as the church was formed, just as countless men and women and boys and girls have done throughout the history of Christianity, it's our turn now to play our part. Will we be obedient? Then we see the unimaginable as we trust fully in God's extraordinary power at work in us and through us. Like I said, we're going to sing together our final song this morning. And it's a song that just declares that truth, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Let's sing this together. And as we do, let's just